Thank you so much for the ministry in song. So important. You know, when this whole thing was happening and they were telling us before that we can't be singing, oh, how hard was that? I'm so glad that that changed. And good morning and blessed Sabbath to everyone. Really good to be here. It does feel strange. It's really interesting how physical distance does something to us that's not right, eh? But we have to stick with that. It's different for families, but it is quite different for those who are not. But it's good to be here and welcome everyone. I'm so glad that I don't have to stare in the camera. But I will do that for just for a second, especially for those who are joining us and who are on our live stream. So we want to welcome you to Mount Gravatt Church today. It is a special Sabbath for us as we have a family here, church family here together today. Let me pray. Father, this morning we come to you and we thank you that as a church, as a family, we came together. Lord, it is different and we want this to change. Lord, we leave it in your hands. In the meantime, we pray for your Spirit to be among us. We pray for the strength and power of your word. We pray that your word will do its work in our minds and in our hearts. Jesus, you relate to us as your children, and you relate to us as sinners, and we are painfully aware of that. And so, Lord, as we share the word from the book of Romans today, we pray for insight, for understanding, for the quickening of our will, for the observance of our mind and acceptance of our heart, and for the power of your Spirit. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me read the text to you for today from the book of Romans. As you know, we are in the series on the book of Romans, and it is in chapter 3 from verse 21. Here it is. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. That's the word of God. You remember that in our series that we have started from the book of Romans, we are dealing with three essential questions. Number one, what is wrong with human race? What is wrong with us? And if you look at the mirror and you do not say that honestly to yourself, then Well, something is not right. Every single one of us realizes that there is something not quite right, not just physically, not just in terms of that we might be sick, but something is morally wrong with us, spiritually and morally. So what is wrong with human race? What has God done through Jesus about what is wrong with us? And number three, what is our final destiny? So these are the three basic questions. So the second half of chapter 3 of the book of Romans and the first part of chapter 4 is really the summary of what salvation is all about. So I want your full attention. I want your full attention. And pray for me that the delivery of the message is good enough. There are three crucial statements that we read in this text. So let me go about these three statements. Watch very carefully. We are justified how? We are justified freely. Number one, that's quite a statement. I am justified freely. Number two, we are justified how? By faith. Justified freely. Justified by faith. And number three, we are justified by the blood of Jesus. Freely, by faith, by the blood of Jesus. Three huge statements. And on each one of those we can spend time, but I'm going to spend time just on one. And that is that we are justified freely. Let's get into it. Now here are questions that we need to just unpack. Okay. Why do we need free justification? Why is it essential that we are justified freely? Why not any other alternative? Why does God need to justify me and give it to me freely as a gift? Why is that necessary? Why not any other alternative? Only that one will do. Only that one will do. Okay, why? Number two, but what is it? What is really a free justification? What is it? And number three, how do we get it? How do we get it? Okay? So let's start. Start again with the text. But now a righteousness from God. Now righteousness from God, apart from the law. Apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. When it says here, the law, it means the Pentateuch, it means the five books of Moses. Now, in the first part, it refers to the moral law. But when it says from the law and the prophet, it means it comes from the five books of Moses. There's a difference there when it mentions the law, yeah? This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So, here is a question. What is righteousness? And here's where I make a comparison, okay? And follow me on this. A righteousness, you could say, is like a resume. How many of you have done resumes? Okay? How much time would you have to spend to write a good resume? It's really important. To write a resume is important. So what does it contain? Well, this is what it contains. Your accomplishments, your skills you write down, your performances, past performances, and your valuable experiences. So for the job that you are applying for, that you will get to your boss, what you want him to know is what is it you have done, what is it you have accomplished, what are the skills that you are bringing to that job, what are the past performances that you have done, how well have you done them, and what are the experiences that you have? So even before your boss would see you, he's going to read or she's going to read this and assess it. But your resume is important, isn't it? That's really what qualifies you. All you will need after that and would be important would be an interview that you have. But resume is what you need. And this is formally recorded, and you really want to put it nicely so it is even visually kind of an attractive thing. Hey, so many people spend so much time on writing their resumes, yeah? So what you do, you take a resume to your employer, and you say, I really feel that I qualify for the position that you are advertising. I think that I match your requirements, so please accept me. That's what you are saying. So then he is going to, if it is good enough, if your resume is good enough, if your past experiences, if your accomplishments, if your skill, if all of that matches what he or she needs, you will get a job. And you will be accepted. This is how it is in life. This is how it is in life. For your school, for uni, for job, for sport, you need to qualify. And you need to be accepted. You need a good resume. Now, here is a question. Here's where we come. What does God use to validate somebody? What does God use to validate you? Or what we say, what validates me or what qualifies me from heaven? So what does God use to validate you or non-validate you? What does he use? So in life, we talked about it. It can be an academic record or it can be a resume that qualifies you, yeah? But what about God? For God, it's a moral record. It is also certain kinds of accomplishment, performances, skills. It's a record. It's a record. But it's a moral record, and either you match it and it qualifies you, or you don't and it disqualifies you. It just makes sense. We function down on earth this way, and it is the same for God as well. But I want you to see what Paul is saying, and this is where the good news or the gospel comes in. This is what Paul is saying. This resume, what we call a righteousness, is available as a gift. So it's not something that you have produced. It's not your record that you have worked it. It's not your past performances. It's not your skills. It's nothing that you have done, and then you rightfully say, here it is. As a package, now accept me. He says, no. It's not yours. It's somebody else's. It's somebody else's resume. It's called righteousness. And it is given as a gift. I love to hear amen here, okay? This is a spot, people. And it is offered absolutely to everyone. How good is that? It's given to you as a gift. Just given to you as a gift. Not only to you, but it is offered absolutely to everyone. It's not something that you have done. It's not your performances. It's not your accomplishments. It's not your skills. It's not your experiences that really qualify you. It's totally somebody else's. God says, here it is. Take it. It's yours. Give it to you. If that is not good news, you know, it is. You know what it is? The problem that we have, it's too good to be true. But it is true. It is true. That's what it is. Paul is saying that. It is true. When we accept this, that this resume, this righteousness is a gift given to us. And God says, you are validated. You are validated. You are accepted. You are totally justified. And it's nothing you have produced, nothing you have done. All you have done is you have just accepted it as a gift. That's all. That's all. But what it does, it just fills your heart with gratitude. Just absolutely fills your heart with gratitude. Then you realize that you don't need too much external validation from others, from anyone actually. If God of heaven, who is ultimately your Father and your God, puts a stamp which says validated, that's what you need. You're really fine. Yes, we are relational beings. We need validation and we want validation from others. That's okay. But if ultimate one is placed upon you, your soul and your heart is fine. It's fine. Absolutely fine. So, let's explore this a little more. So how does validation work in a real world? How does it work? One feels justified and one feels that I have lived a life worth living if I am validated by somebody. Okay, here it is. In sport, okay? In sport, I need to excel and I need to do well so that people around me would say, well done. And that would stimulate me within and fuel me in such a way that I can move on and that I feel justified somehow as a person. For so many people, sport is so important that it validates them, it fuels them within so that they would practice even more and that they would be validated even more from others and fuel to go on. Yeah? So I need to be validated to live this life and something from outside needs to come. For some people, it's sport. For some people, it's career. Okay? It's all about my work. It's all about what I do. And that I do it successfully. And that I do it in such a way that people recognize it. And that they say it. And that I'm somehow fueled from within. That I find even justification for my life. And that's the fuel that people need. That's career. Career does that to people. Or a cause. So many people today live for a cause. You have the United States or America, or you have the Western world divided into two. And so huge thing is now, are you part of a Democratic Party or are you part of a Republican Party? So that's a cause. I'm living for a cause. And that fuels me. That justifies even the reason for me living this life. That's the fuel. Validation. And it comes from people around you, from people who think the same way. I need to be validated. So my life feels worth living and I feel accepted if I give myself to these causes. Okay? But I want you to see that the validation or non-validation always comes from the outside. You can't give it to yourself. Well, you can be kind of, you can judge yourself how you do and kind of validate yourself, are you doing well or not. But ultimately, you always need somebody from the outside to do it. Isn't that true? So validation by yourself is not exactly the same. It has to come from the outside. It has to come from somebody else. I'm glad when I cook and my kids say, this time the curry you cooked is much better than the one that you've done before. And that's exactly what happened last week. I'm glad. Okay, so I do need validation. All right? So somebody outside needs to do it. Life only counts if it is validated by somebody outside of us. You see, parents look to be validated by their children. And their children look to be validated by their parents. The tragedy of today's world and today's society is that there is this disconnect. Children are longing for their parents to say to them, well done, you're doing really well, I'm proud of you. And then they have this, I'm validated, I'm accepted, it's worthwhile. And also parents need to know somehow from their children that they are good parents. So that's how it works. Spouses, I wrote there by girlfriends, but just disregard that, okay? So just means by another spouse, okay? So they look to be validated by each other. Workers by their bosses and bosses by their workers. That's how it functions. It's important. But here is a major problem, and I want you to see this. This is the major problem. This is where we hit the snag. And this is a problem. We don't feel we deserve validation because we don't measure up to a standard. I, as a parent, am disappointed with myself, with the way I have sometimes treated my children. I know for a fact that I have not fully measured up to what a father needs to be. Do you understand that? But when it goes really sour, it's real tragedy. Children also don't measure up to what their parents would love them to be. And that often goes sour too. Bosses, workers, spouses. You see, the thing is that it's not just the lofty requirements of the law of God, but it is our own standards that we fail. And that's a problem with validation, because with validation you somehow feel that you need to reach certain standard, and if you don't, you have failed. And that's why this statement by Paul, we have all fallen short. We have all fallen short. Do you get that? We have. For this reason, validation has to happen differently. You see, the worldly validation resembles the greater reality, which is the righteousness of God, or His validation. We fall short in our relationship with one another. But that resembles a greater failure, which is the failure in relationship to God. We have fallen short in our relationships as well as in relationship to God. So where does the validation come from if we are not measuring up? It's not according to the law. Do you get that? It cannot be according to the law. Do you see the logic? It just can't be. But it still has to be. But not by us, because we can't do it. You have lived enough to realize that. God has made you observant enough to have an insight that you can't do it. That's why it happened outside of us, by a perfect being, by a perfect man called Jesus Christ, who did it outside of us, measured 100% fully, for the only reason that He would place on us, around our neck, a perfect resume, which is called righteousness. Make sense? That's amen. So what is free justification? And being justified freely. Do you see how important that it is free? Because you can't conjure it up. You can't create it. You don't have skills. You don't have performances. You don't have accomplishments. You don't have experiences that are good enough for a perfect God. You see, God's holiness is amazingly beautiful, but it is amazingly harsh. It's harsh. You can't measure up to it. You simply can't measure up to it. It's both harsh but incredibly beautiful. Through gospel, we bring to an end striving to be validated as we find that we are accepted by God, or that we are acceptable to God. Not through what we have done, but through what Jesus has done. I said to people that this coming week, I'm going to order this jumper. Yeah? Do you see it? Justify freely by His grace. Don't you like it? It's just amazing. Justify freely by His grace. I'm going to do it this week. But I want you to see something. Justify freely, it's more than forgiveness and pardon. Very often we boil down the gospel to this, that the gospel is all about God's forgiveness. And that's where we stop. And that's where we make a mistake. Yes, it is forgiveness, but it is much more than forgiveness and pardon. Okay, let's look at it. We are justified by God's grace because of Jesus' death on the cross. Because He lived a perfect life and He gave it as a gift to us. And it's called righteousness, and it is placed on us around our neck. And we did nothing to deserve it. This justification does not boil down to being forgiven only. It is much more than that. You see, forgiveness means being free from being liable to punishment. When God forgave you, it means now you are not guilty for what you have done. You've been set free. But then leaves you open. How do I live my life? I can do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. So forgiveness just simply means that you are free from being liable to punishment. But justification, so this is really important. And this is what we need to understand. It means that you are bestowed with the status. God is not just saying, go now. You're free. Not going to be punished. He's not just saying that. He says, come. You're my son. You're my daughter. You have rights. You have privileges. You belong to me. So it's not just forgiveness. You're part of an inner circle. You're part of an inner circle. You're validated. You're validated. Forgiveness tells you may go. You're let off penalty, which you deserved. But there is a potential for being arrested again and put in prison. But justification says to you, you may come. You're most welcome to my love and my presence. He's putting a medal around your neck. And he says, you are accepted. You are justified. You are mine. You're my child. You're prince. You belong. So how is this possible? Jesus made it possible. He won the greatest war with one purpose, which was to bestow upon you and me the honor. He did it so that he could put the righteousness of honor around my neck. Do you see, when Jesus came, his perfect life was lived not for himself, but that he could eventually give it to me. For that reason, he came. He lived every single day of his life, went around doing what he did, doing perfect life, being perfect person. And then when he died on the cross of Calvary, he says, now my life, my righteousness, totally on you. And you say, really? It's that simple? Yes. For that reason I came. You and I cannot stand in the presence of a perfect God who requires perfect life. Remember the resume. Your resume stands for nothing in the eyes of a perfect God. That's how it is. That's how it is in this life too. Let alone in the life of a cosmos. Let alone in the life of a cosmos. Where you read around your neck somebody else's resume. And that's the resume of Jesus Christ. Here's a trap. And I want you to see the trap. This is where many of us fail. This is where many of us fail. I need to make myself a little bit righteous on my own. How do I do that? This is how we do it. I need to clean myself. I need to be more committed. I need to be more surrendered. And this will qualify me. If I become more committed, if I become more surrendered, if I clean myself, and this is what I need to do, what will happen? This will qualify me. Then God does the rest. So I do a little bit. God does a little bit. And this qualifies me. That's the righteousness. Wrong. None of that. Just doesn't work. And we all can easily fall into this trap. All has been done outside of us. Justified freely when understood leaves you and me with the motivation of love to serve God and to serve others. Because Paul is going to later on say, so where's boasting? If you do a little bit, then you can boast in yourself. He says, no, it's excluded. So if it is excluded, there is no part except to accept the gift. When justified by yourself and God together, the motivation behind will not be the right one. Potentially, it will be a motivation of fear. Because your element is never good enough. So where then is boasting, Paul says. What an insight he had. How blessed we are to understand this. Paul so well understood the gospel. So well he understood the gospel. Where is boasting, he said. Who did it? Any of you? Does any of you possess a resume which to present before the perfect God? Tell me. I don't. Where is then boasting? It's excluded. There's none. You see, too many Christians have this kind of an attitude. And I do too. When I confess my sins, God forgives me because of what he did on the cross. Now, after being forgiven, I need to live for him. That's the right attitude. Yeah? But there's something that happens. We then try to live hard for Jesus, but we fail. Then we come back and recommit and ask for forgiveness, and then it goes on and on. And we kind of fall into a vicious cycle. Why does this happen? Why does this happen? And how do we break this vicious cycle? You see, Pharisees themselves knew that they were sinners and that they needed forgiveness. That was not their problem. It's not as if Pharisees did not know that they were sinners and that they needed God's forgiveness. It's not true. But here's a problem. You need to look beyond your sin and sins and what you are boasting about. What your heart is boasting about. What is the engine of your life that drives you in such a way that you want to be validated by others rather than God himself? What drives you? So I'm not talking about individual sins that you do, because individual sins that we do are a result of the idol that is in your life. You see, people, when they lie, the reason why people lie is very often, and most often, is because of the idol that they have in their lives. So it's not just a question of individual sin or sins, but what is in your heart that drives you so that you are validated by something else, and that matters to you the most, more than God himself. You see, for Pharisees, it was not individual sins, because they would repent of individual sins, but the thing that was driving them was the recognition of other people and desire for power, to be validated by others. How do we break the vicious cycle? Look at that which validates you, which justifies your existence, makes you worthy. You being a parent, it's a beautiful thing that God has given you. But if that is what gives you the ultimate meaning and justification for your existence, that is your idol. If career is what drives you, and you need to be validated by others as a result of that, there it is. It's not just individual sins. Free justification destroys boasting. Yes, Pharisees also said, as I said to you, we should repent of our sins, but that's not enough. Christians, we should repent from our justification, from our false righteousness. And how do we receive justification? Let God be the one who gives you validation rather than seeking it in other things. While I do need my wife, my children, my colleagues to validate me, if that is an overriding thirst and hunger within me, and that's what makes me tick, I am idol worshiper. If your only validation is a validation that you are a good mother, and that's all who you are, you have totally missed the point. If that is your righteousness, so let us boast in Jesus' righteousness, in his resume, which is bestowed upon us. This is so important. You're not just mom, you're not just a colleague, you're not just a friend, you're not just a spouse, you're not just a girlfriend, you're not just a boss, you're not just a worker. You are primarily a child of God. Of all those relationships, you fall short. And of some of those relationships, you and I have such a tendency to make them our idols because we want to be thirst and hunger to be validated by them. But let them pale in comparison to the validation of God of heaven and of Jesus, who placed the sign of approval upon you when he said, I have embraced you with my perfect life. You are mine. And boast about that. Just boast. Be boastful about it. Any other boasting will not do. How's your boasting? You need to be boastful. But let us be boastful about this. Let us be boastful about this. Let us be careful about the idols. I know what is my temptation and what idol I am in danger of. I know it clearly. So let's be careful about the idols that want to win the supremacy over our hearts. And let us boast in the one who wants to boast about us. Well, that is the gospel that I wanted to share with you today. And I pray that God is going to give us a good reason from his word to embrace the preciousness, supremacy, and the beauty of Jesus Christ in our lives. Let all other relationships have their place, but none of them to be a driving force in our lives. None of them to be a driving force in our lives from which we seek to be validated. May God bless us all. Amen.